Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Happy Eagles Victory Monday with D-Lineham. Joe Torti here with you, 97.5, The Fanatic. And I have to say, I know that a lot of people had a lot of opinions about the game against the New York Jets, the big victory. I have to say that in terms of wins, that was about the most perfect win that I could consider for this team moving forward. And it's because it was not a beautiful, fantastic, flawless victory over a really, really bad team, right? Because I feel like from that perspective, there's nothing to learn or gain from it, right? Like, you look at it and you think, oh, well, the Jets are terrible. You won because the Jets are terrible, and then you steamrolled them and everything else. To me, the fact that the defense looked so, let's just say, good and the offense looked rough makes me more optimistic, because I feel like heading into the teeth of the regular season schedule, and this is the road trip that we've all been waiting for and looking for, you're not kind of coasting into it after an easy win because you dominated the New York Jets. Good evening, Dee. How are you today?
You had me like listening on every word there because I'm like, what? But I see where you're coming from. It's interesting perspective. I would also say, so long as the people that matter, and those would be the ones who are practicing this week to go to Minnesota, understand the work that still needs to be done.
Yeah.
And as long as they have that perspective, then I understand what you're saying. I'll take Brandon Graham and some of those other defensive linemen that say sacks come in bunches. And so if that propels them to continue on such a role, good for them. I don't know that it actually always comes to fruition. I know the last time they had a 10-sack game was in 2007. And then in that year, 22 more came to finish that year. And
sure,
they were not a playoff team. So it's not an automatic. But there were enough good things, I think, defensively. And offensively, the penalties to me, I just don't understand how in week five you can still have so many miscues.
Yeah.
That's
not,
you know,
tightened up
at
all.
And the phrase that Carson loves to use, and I hate to like nitpick with him, but you know, we have a few things to iron out. That's not ironing out in week five.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's
That's
just
the truth.
Not. Ironing out our, you know, one small wrinkle. That doesn't look like a small wrinkle to me.
Right. If there's a like a quarterback center exchange, right? That's something that you could
that's
probably
a wrinkle.
Yeah.
That's ironing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
know that at this point, we wouldn't even like to see ironing. We'd like to see, you know, you just hang it up and then you take a shower
yeah,
and then you come out and it's done. You
yeah.
know, you're good to go.
Well, things to iron out.
But here's what I'll say, right? And this is with all due respect to the New York Jets, because I think it's unfair to crap on a team when they have their starting quarterback out and they have their backup quarterback out. So I'm not going to be like, this
remind
team's
me,
terrible.
I have a third thing about that, but go ahead.
Yeah, of course. I compared it to when a big-time college football powerhouse schedules an FCS team at the start of their schedule, right?
Where kind of like Notre Dame, Bowling Green?
Yeah, something like that, like that, right?
Can we go down there?
Where Notre Dame gets 15 sacks in the game,
yep.
Three interceptions, whatever it is, right? The other team gets 6 yards of offense. You're not going to do that against everyone. But you're warmed up to the point where if you're the Eagles, you're not going to get 10 sacks every game. Maybe you can get a sack and a half, 2 sacks every game now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have you know, 4 takeaways against the Jets, maybe you can have a takeaway or two every game or
All
every
right.
other game or something
I'm with
like
you.
That. You know, so just I don't know about sacks coming in bunches like you said, D. Maybe just taking the lid off a little bit and having the defensive line not need to be dominating, but like having a pulse and being present. That's very exciting to
me. Well, and to go along with that, I will say since you were having such problems with the pass rush, right? And then you do decide to move Brandon Graham inside quite a bit, and Josh Sweat, for that matter.
Yes.
And you get results. So two of Brandon Graham's sacks came when he was inside, and Josh's came when he was inside. So now you're saying, okay, maybe we're on to something for having injuries that we didn't anticipate and didn't know what we could do to make up for. Maybe now we have some ideas that will benefit us.
610-632-0975. The third thing you were talking about, Dee, with that.
How any coach could allow a young person, an old person, I don't care, go into a game having not practiced one snap with those number ones because he was so sure he was going to have Sam Darnold, and then he does not, and he throws Luke Falk to the Wolves.
Remarkable.
I as a kid, I might have protested and say, I'm not getting on that bus. I'm serious. Yeah. 10 sacks, because a lot of it, he didn't know what was going on.
Well, and so there was no play that I thought summed up the game more than the Orlando Scandrick play, where he literally runs up to the guy, takes the football away from him.
It's mine. I don't want to share. I mean, it looked like two kids.
That's it, right? And those are the things, if Sam Darnold's in, you're not seeing that, right? Like, the pocket presence is there. You're not going to have someone just come in and take the ball.
Oh, my God.
So that's one that you wipe out. But you're right. Like, to not have any kind of preparation, any reps with the ones, anything like that ahead of time.
That's just crazy to me.
Pretty rough.
I just don't, you know, I just think it's irresponsible as an organization to me. And again, I'm not cheering for the Jets. I'm just saying, to throw that guy out there like that, you already know they're bad. And there had to be a point that you were pretty sure, from a medical standpoint, that he wasn't going to play.
Right.
I mean, at Wednesday, when he wasn't cleared for contact, that should be your indication. No.
Or even taking his temperature, right? Like,
yeah.
He's married to the Jets for a long time. He's not going to play games with them. It's like, how you feeling, Sam? Not great. All right, that's all the information that we need. You know what I mean? Like, that's... He's not going to jerk you around.
No, I don't think, because he knows this is his future.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. So I thought that was interesting. I would have loved to have seen what those discussions were like. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. We're taking your reactions to the game. Offensively, so much to work on. Ooh. It's unbelievable amounts of stuff to work on. I talked about the Jets' defense being not good, but competent, right? The Eagles made them look really competent for most of the day. You got two defensive scores there, right?
If you
take away 14 points, this was not the blowout that everybody anticipated in terms of, like, the full-on dominating steamroll performance. Now, you win as a team, lose as a team, but in terms of kind of ironing things out, it's almost all on the offensive side, it looks like.
I mean, I was kind of excited because that first possession, minus the one penalty, you know, and then Jordan Howard gets into the end zone, you're saying, oh, fast start, we don't do this, points on the board in the first quarter, you know, this looks good. And I really did think that the running game, and it was good, meaning he used enough, but I think you might want to see more of that as you go on this road trip, just because I don't know what you have with your receivers, and you definitely don't have Deshaun.
Yeah, that's not looking great, right? The more that we hear no news on DeSean Jackson, it's making you think that something's up.
Well, and also, how about they said, you know, and probably not for the Cowboys game either. I mean, that's already out there.
Right, yeah, that's 2 weeks from now. Yeah, it's saying something.
And that's already the rhetoric that you're hearing. So that clearly they can't stretch the field that way. Yes, Zach Ertz gets his first touchdown. That's encouraging. Some felt like he's not looking to Nelson at all, and it's understandable. If a guy drops as many drops as he's had, you start to lose confidence. And so it just becomes a Zach and Alshon show, I guess.
And then Miles Sanders out of the backfield,
right.
Which was the way that they went. And it's good that Miles Sanders made a mark out of the backfield because he was not making a mark in terms of running the ball. 9 carries, 15 yards, 1.7 yard average. In contrast, Jordan Howard was a tick under 5 yards per carry.
Right, exactly.
Pretty remarkable. The distribution of labor in the game, 13 carries for Jordan Howard, 9 for Miles Sanders, 3 for Darren Sproles. Indeed, that's closer.
Oh, Sproles got the calf, right?
Yeah, had the injury and
another soft tissue.
Stunning. I mean, it's not to pick on the guy, but it's...
Oh, no, I'm just saying
older, injured player gets injured.
That's what you get.
That's not surprising. And it's actually the same way that you would look at the DeSean Jackson situation. Injured older player gets injured. Breaking news. I mean, that's just the way that things go. 610-632-0975. Now, in contrast, Brandon Graham had 3 sacks. Orlando Scandrick had 2 sacks. You got sacks from Josh Sweat, from Derek Barnett, Vinny Curry, Hassan Ridgeway, Deshaun Hall. You had a lot of people getting
Derek Barnett,
in.
Did you say him?
Yes, did say Derek Barnett. Derek Barnett also had a sack.
That's for Devon out there.
Yeah, Devon is, you know, that's his go-to guy. The defense is there. The problem that I had as I watched this is it's kind of the same thing as like the Phillies lineup. I'm like, did one guy make that much of a difference? Can they really not do anything without Andrew McCutchen? Can they not do anything without DeSean Jackson?
I know.
And
it sounds crazy, but who has any speed? That's basically
right.
And how could you put a roster together where only one person has, I'm not saying they have to be as fast as DeSean, but like to have some kind of speed that can be a difference, because the rest, it's just not there.
I'm watching the game.
I mean, I think Alshon's longest catch was, and it might have been yards after, 13 yards, I believe.
Yeah, and he's always been a possession guy. Yeah. We know that. But
yeah, but I'm just saying, if there's nobody else out there.
I'm watching the Chiefs game.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what a Byron Pringle is, but he was making all kinds of plays last night. And I found myself sitting here watching, and I'm thinking, son of a bleep. These guys are all the same. They're all like literal clones of each other. Just like slightly undersized speed demon burner individuals.
Speed demons. And in fairness, Mahomes can buy just enough time to let them get to where they want to go.
Yes.
Until he rolled his ankle or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That didn't look great.
But, no. But before that, how about how he evaded... Oh my
two
God.
No-look throws that were just unreal. The one up the sideline was just bonkers.
Both of them were.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that guy's good. But the point is that in the event that, say, I don't know.
That you don't have DeSean.
A Tyreek Hill experiences an injury, God forbid, you know? In the event that were ever to happen, it seems like they have like 4 guys that are ready. Not Tyreek Hill fast, but like fast enough to do a decent impression.
Which is what I was saying. There's nobody else with speed on this group.
Yeah, there's no one that's even close. No. Like, people talk about Nelson Agholor kind of filling the DeSean Jackson role. And I'm watching, I'm like, how? You know, but I mean, there's no long speed. There's short speed that Nelson Agholor has to get past people. Yeah, like some explosiveness. But in terms of outracing people, and before you say, oh, those guys aren't hard to find. No, they're not. There are lots of people that are fast that aren't necessarily as good at tracking deep balls as DeSean Jackson, et cetera, et cetera. There are lots of guys with speed. It does make me think that this is a big-time weakness in this team. You've got all of these wide receivers, and nobody can replace the guy that you signed who does have the injury history. I don't know if that's something that gets better in the short term either. It's, are you going to be able to change your offense so that doesn't become such an essential part?
That's basically what one article said, and I don't want to say challenge Doug, but said this is the challenge that is in front of Doug, right? Because these next 3 games, I don't know if you see, and I don't think they do it every week, but the Eagles Twitter account put out Doug's speech in the locker room, and he's like, you know, these next 4 weeks, and so he includes, if you're going to go 4, you might as well go the 5, because I think the 2 afterwards are the Bears and the Patriots.
Sure.
After the 3-game road trip. So, but anyhow, he's like, you know, I need you. You need to do this. You need to do that. It's your rehab. It's, you know, showing up. It's understanding that being better on the road is imperative. I mean, really a challenging post game. And by the way, this was a good one.
Yeah, by the way.
No,
good job, guys.
But I mean, that's how he phrased it. I'm paraphrasing, but he definitely put it out there that what is ahead of us is important and difficult. And it's going to take everybody doing a little extra.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. One of the things that I brought up, and I wanted to take the room's temperature, D has kind of been on board, and with the caveat that the locker room has to look at it this way. But I thought with something to kind of tune up, looking at the offense in particular, this is about as picture perfect a way that I would have wanted this team to beat the New York Jets without Sam Darnold, because you do have such a gauntlet in front of you with these teams on the road that are pretty darn good. And then, of course, you've got the other side of it where you're thinking, yeah, you were supposed to steamroll the Jets. The scoreboard says that you steamrolled the Jets. Your points scored average goes up, points allowed average goes down. But you don't necessarily come in looking like the 07 Patriots, just steamrolling everybody that you don't have anything to work on. I think that's how teams like that get caught with their pants down all the time whenever they're facing stiff competition.
I see what you're saying. Sure.
And the Eagles have some coming up and things to work on, especially considering you look at some of those teams. Some of those teams are either A, doing some winning recently, like the Minnesota Vikings, or B, Dallas could be in free fall and could be looking. We were talking about them potentially being undefeated in this matchup.
Well, they aren't that.
Yeah, certainly not. Not at this point. 610-632-0975.
Now that they tried to make a valiant effort to come back in that game, is true that they, unfortunately for them,
tragic,
had a penalty and had to re-kick that field goal. Then I feel bad for two people, but meaning the guy who moved and then the kicker for you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Makes good competition. 3-2 at the top of the division is perfect.
Well, and so here's the other part of this that I think is worthwhile to note before we get to the phone, 610-632-0975, is that I don't think that the conversation now becomes the Eagles are back, they're on top of the division, time to steamroll everybody. Like, I don't think a win like this puts people in that mindset. You know what I mean? I don't think that there's puffing out your chest about the Bills game, for example, coming up in a couple weeks after a win like this.
Oof. No.
You know?
Like, no. I mean, there's some who think the Bills will give the Patriots run for their money in that division.
Well, they almost beat them without the quarterback.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if you can beat the Bills on the road, that is a pound your chest, in my opinion. I don't know what will happen in the next 2 weeks for them, but would you agree?
I think that if you go 2 out of 3, and whichever one you lose, you have to win the Dallas game. If you win 2 out of 3, either
including
the front end or the back
Dallas.
End. Yeah, you have to have the Dallas
have
be one
the
of them.
I would agree.
You feel good about the road trip, period. Like, if you lose to Minnesota and win the next two, that's fine.
Absolutely.
But I agree that the bigger measuring stick, because I have to say I'm not all that impressed with Minnesota from what I've seen. They've been like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde
team. But they don't give up many points.
That's what it is.
That is a little concerning. And as I say, you know, oh, well, the Eagles are capable of going in there and putting 30 on the board. Sure, they are. But they have shown ineptness as well.
They have. That's true. Whereas the Bills, I would just say, have looked sharp. They've looked like a pretty sharp team, and they have experienced the injury situations with the quarterback and a couple other players as well. So you look at them and you think, okay, that is a group that we might need to pay some more attention to, as opposed to, you know, the Vikings. But who knows? Like, if you're talking about an offense that's been struggling, yours, going against a defense like Minnesota's that has surrendered very few points but could potentially be had, maybe, is just what the doctor ordered. Like, that's the other half of that, too, in terms of being a big test where it's like, hey, this is a team that hasn't given up a whole lot of points, but you're not trying to figure out a way to solve, say, the Bears or the Patriots. You've got some time to do that and to get right before those games. That's worthwhile. Is there? I know that you mentioned a lot of things, Dee, that stuck out to you kind of negatively. Was there somebody that kind of stole the show, as far as you're concerned?
From a negative standpoint?
No. Oh, from a positive standpoint.
I was going to say, I'm not that negative.
No.
From a positive standpoint, I mean, it was hard not to feel good for the defense, and I have a soft spot. Brandon Graham, I just enjoy listening to him whenever he's interviewed, too. So for him to have the 3 sacks and then talk about it post-game, and he's like, yeah, we always... But he doesn't get mean about people picking them to lose games or not performing up to snuff. But so he's one of the players that I enjoyed and thought played so particularly well. And I guess for me, also a guy like an Orlando Scandrick, you know, you get cut in August. You've been a professional. It didn't work out. And you had been here even before training camp. So to have an audition, so to speak.
Sure. Yep.
And so for him to have the game that he had after he had just gotten picked up you know, were signed. That I thought was nice too. Offensively, no, nothing really. Other than I keep saying Jordan Howard doesn't disappoint you ever. I mean, he's steady Eddie.
Yeah,
in my opinion, I don't know what other way to say that. And I think he does it the way he does it. It's not, you know, there's nothing particularly fancy about it. He's just going to grind it out, and he gets you yards. Anything almost five. I mean, now we're in week five, and he's still doing that whenever you call upon him. So if you have to call more, so be it.
I'm at the point with Jordan Howard now where it's worth it to me to explore the larger sample size.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like, what does it
absolutely
look like if he gets 17 or 18
right
carries? You know what
absolutely
I mean?
Absolutely.
If he goes back down to 3 yards per carry, we'll figure something. We'll go right back to where we were.
You can do what you did.
Whatever.
There's no harm.
But it's getting to the point now, and I talked about this beforehand. I knew that the Eagles would love Miles Sanders maybe more than they should have early on.
Correct.
Even if I think Miles Sanders is going to be a good back down the line, that's kind of played out.
And maybe more versatile.
Yeah, probably does more stuff, right?
Sure.
But if you're trying to establish the ground game, that's going to be an important part of what you do.
The other guy does that.
He's playing better.
Yep.
If you can truly earn jobs on the field, it's been that guy. We're going to get to the phones right after this. 610-632-0975. So sit tight if you're on the line. We're going to get to you next. It's D. Lineham and Joe Torty reacting to the Eagles game right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty, D Lineham, 97.5, The Fanatic. Eagles victory Monday. Mondays are always a little bit easier, D, after the Birds win, you know?
So true, so true. Because people are happy.
Yes.
And even if it's not perfect, like we've said, this doesn't have perfectness to it. It still means you're 3-2. It still means that you take a little pride or a little gratitude in the Cowboys losing as well and being tied at the top of the division. And now you take another step forward, hopefully this weekend against the Vikings.
I don't know what your experience was. The people that I was around, way more excited about Dallas losing.
Oh, not even close.
The Eagles winning.
A lot of people I know left the Eagles game early.
Yeah.
Some even at halftime.
Well, I mean, you know, they didn't miss much in terms of things that would change around the
outcome.
No, and
I think
it
was such a nice day that people saw it and said, huh?
Yeah.
I can get the best of both worlds. I tailgated. I saw good football. I can go do something else.
Yeah, I have to tell you about my weekend, too, in a little while here.
That might be for Torty after dark.
All things considered, maybe. All right, let's go to the phones to lead things off. Donald and Chester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Donald?
Hello there. How you guys doing?
Doing great, thank
you, Donald. Man. Good. Listen, I wanted to clear up something because I believe there was a misunderstanding of what I was trying to say last week about the receiving corps. You know, I didn't want, you know, anybody to think that I didn't agree that Peterson wasn't happy with what he has. I think my point was, what I was trying to make was, I didn't think that we were ready to just throw the ball all over the place. Because I just, you know, I see the lack of Deshaun not being out there, and Aguilar and Matt Hollins. So you know, I was kind of looking to the Minnesota game. I wasn't really looking at the Jets game. I mean, it was impressive to see them guys get all them sacks.
Oh yeah,
it really was. But I was looking because that's what my concern is that, you know, Carson needs more targets. He was able to hit Jeffrey like on the first drive and everything, and it was good. But I see where, you know, the lack of production from Nelly and Matt Collins not getting into the offense is my concern. You know, it is. It's a concern going forward.
I think it's a valid concern, and I don't think it's yours alone.
What's the fix, Donald? Is there one?
I'm sorry?
What is the fix? How do you solve the problem?
I guess they did try to sign someone. You know, I did see where they picked up a receiver from the Redskins. You know, but my take on that is, if you have to pick up other guys, then maybe we need to let go of somebody that we keep clinging to. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, if that's what it is, I don't know. Besides getting signing more receivers, I don't know exactly what else you can do, because that is the best option to do.
Yeah, because changing the personnel.
Yeah, because Wentz needs more options and more targets. The only thing I saw him do that I was displeased with was when he took that hit, you know, and his leg went that awkward way. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at him, and I was scared. I was scared for him myself, you know. But I just, he needs more options than Jeffrey and Ertz. Yes, Goddard is there, but he just, because I thought the game plan yesterday was really good for Peterson, the way he tried to get all three of them in the game. He tried to get Sproles, Sanders, and Howard all in the game at one time, and I thought that was impressive, but I just think we just need more.
Yeah, well, and Donald, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it, man. I think that's part. Creativity is something that I need to see more of on offense, because it was one of Doug's hallmarks in his first couple of years. Last 2 years, it hasn't really been the case.
That's true.
I think that the best poker players are made when you don't have the cards. It's
right.
Super easy to be really good at poker when you have all of the cards. It's when you don't and you have to make something out of nothing. That's where, you know, the money really gets made.
All right, let me ask you a question, though, because we did say that Carson had so many more weapons that were now provided for him coming into the season.
We did.
So he mentions Ertz. He mentions Alshon Jeffrey. Miles Sanders did have 4 receptions for 49 yards, so it's not like he didn't do something.
Right.
Nelson Aguilar, we can go back and forth on this one. Like, is it because he dropped so many balls that he now becomes a non-factor? He had the one catch for 20 yards. And then he mentions Goddard. He should be valued.
Yeah.
Sproles and Hollins. I mean, none of it is anything, with the exception of Deshaun, not listed there.
Right.
Everything is what you knew you had.
Unless you thought Arthega Whiteside was going to be much better as a rookie, right?
All right.
Like, that's
right.
The only. But even so, as a fourth receiver, at best, that's like a half point against. You know, Deshaun Jackson being gone, that's a full point down.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, Arthega Whiteside, how much was he really going to give you to begin with?
I don't know.
The Goddard thing is an issue.
And I also would say, how much opportunity do you really think he's been given?
Right. He had the one bad game with all of the injuries.
And nothing has been allowed again,
and that's
right?
Been it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Drew in Westchester next on The Fanatic. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Joe? Hey, D. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great.
Great. Cool. About the Eagles, I mean, anything I say now is just going to be nitpicky, because obviously a win's a win, you know, no matter how far you get it. You know, I know it was just the Jets and everything, and the offense should have played a little bit better. But, like, I feel like we're just, like, a lot of the problem is self-inflicted, we're self-inflicting these things on ourselves with these penalties we're taking on offense, and especially the drops. And, you know, Carson is, like you just said, Joe, I think, you know, losing faith in Nelson Aguilar, because, or D said it, you know, one catch for 20 yards in, I think, the last 2 games.
Right. I mean, it doesn't look like he's not looking like he's looking there.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I definitely love seeing Jordan Howard get the ball. And I think you might have been saying this earlier, Joe, or somebody was saying that's a definite positive, you know, seeing him get the ball a lot more. I think the running game is got to be more established, especially without Jackson, you know, in the game, you know, and Carson having a little bit more doubt in some of his receivers, you know, because, yeah, like Whiteside hasn't done anything, you know, that we thought he would do this year.
Well, and the other problem with it, Drew, thanks for the phone call, man, really appreciate it, is that you look at the other teams around the NFL who are, you'd call elite level teams or really good teams, right? The Patriots have a very good ground game. The Saints have a very good ground game. The Rams, even though they've been kind of sliding, have a really good ground game. Same thing with the Cowboys. Like, it's a mark of teams that are really good. Now, that you look at teams that are traditionally really good that haven't gone to the ground as much. I'm looking at like the Chargers, who are an unbelievably disappointing team, probably relative to their expectations this year. And there are several others that are just passing all the time and airing it out and not having the success that they hoped that they would. I believe that the Eagles could have been an air raid team effectively if everybody was healthy at all times. And I'm still counting Dallas Goedert because I'm not convinced that Dallas Goedert is healthy. I'm convinced that he's out there. I don't see the burst that we were used to seeing from him. And certainly DeSean Jackson, I think that that makes a difference too. You do have to kind of evolve and change your philosophy now. And Jordan Howard appears to be the ticket if you're going to do some kind of power run play action pass game.
He does appear to be that. And seems to me, and it seems like Doug's trying to do it gradually, building. Maybe not if you want to go back to the poker hand. You don't want to show desperation that you don't have what you want,
right? Exactly.
You know? And maybe the only ace you have that they don't know is upping the carries for Jordan Howard.
Yeah, that might be the only option because the carries happening for Miles Sanders, it's not working out well.
No.
In the passing game, by the way, maybe that's one of the things you didn't know you had, is that you get him more involved in the passing game. Corey Clement, I said that he might as well be, you know, non-existent on the roster, comes in, gets an opportunity, and immediately gets... Some people say it's a bad break. I say that it's a huge mistake that you can't make at that point in the game. Who knows what's going to happen to him now at this point? If Arthego Whiteside's been buried for mistakes, is Clement, we might never see him again.
Not far behind, exactly.
Let's go to Mark in Dover next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Good. Good to hear Dee's voice. I haven't heard her since the days of the Sixers. And,
thank you.
And always, you know, just a pleasure hearing you with the Sixers, and glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so here is what I want to talk about. So Doug Peterson, and I'll start off by asking a question. Doug Peterson, after the game at some point in an interview, made a statement that there's changes coming on offense. What do you think those changes may be? And I'll give you what I think a change should be. Since the 2017 Super Bowl win, one thing I've noticed is that play calling has been totally out of whack. I watched a game last night with Indianapolis and who did they play? Indianapolis and
Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City, right? And that Indianapolis coach was on point with play calling. And if I'm not mistaken, that's who our offensive coordinator was, right?
That is correct.
That's the change that needs to be made on offense, I think. That's what's missing. There's no creativity that you guys
But you know
about.
Frank Reich's not coming back.
Oh, yeah, I know he's not coming back. But, my God, I'll take 50% of what he is. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He is so knowledgeable. He seems to put people in the right position. He seems to create chemistry on offense. This offense right now should be like a very good Flyers team, bringing out one line after another line after another line, you know, just dominating. You know what I mean? That's how much talent we have on offense. And for some reason, five games into the season, despite the injury to DeSean Jackson, we're not clicking. And I think our quarterback is taking too much of the blame, to be honest with you. I know he's fought through some injuries and some chemistry issues with the team, yada, yada, yada. But I'm telling you, somewhere in the offensive coordinator position, they have to be accountable for how this team is functioning on offense. We played a college team on Sunday, okay? We scored 31 points, I think 14 of which was from the defense.
Mm-hmm.
The score should have been easily 70-something points on offense. Okay? And that's something that we need to look at. Okay? And I don't know if Peterson is making the calls. I'm assuming he's making the calls. But what's the role of the offensive coordinator?
Well, typically, and Mark, sorry, we got to move on, man. Thanks for the phone call. Typically, in the Eagles system, offensive coordinator is in charge of the scripted plays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that hasn't ended up being the best for the Eagles. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We'll be right back with more after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. D-Line, I'm Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. So, D, you ever see The Matrix?
No.
No? Josh, you ever see The Matrix?
Who was the guy in the NBA? Sean somebody was known as The Matrix. The play
Marion. Sean Marion.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
There is a scene in The Matrix where they're all in a computer program, and sometimes the nuclear option is an EMP, which is, you know, electromagnetic pulse. It knocks out all the electronics in the area. That happened to our phones during the break. So,
oh, but everybody listen to Josh because they're coming back right now.
They're coming back. I appreciate the people coming back. But what I'm saying to the people who, you know, maybe tried to call and said, what's going on here? There's nothing there. We do have three open phone lines. And to my knowledge, fully functioning telecommunications devices right now.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's fantastic. It's outstanding. It's Thank you very much to the engineering staff here at 97.5 The Fanatic who made the transition possible. So really appreciate
that. And life
that.
Easier.
Yeah, life much easier because Josh is kind of relaying names and numbers via smoke signal and stuff like that. So I really appreciate everybody's patience. Let's get the conversation back going with Ryan and Langhorne next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Ryan. Okay. I think that they might be working. Ryan, you with us? All right. Josh and Audubon. Josh? Oh, no.
Ugh.
Hold on. Are they potted down? Oh, okay. Josh, I think we hear you now, man.
Okay, cool.
Sorry about
that. Excellent, Josh. Excellent.
Every time I call you guys and I'm on hold, I think you're talking to me. You're like, hey, Josh, have you ever seen The Matrix? And I'm like,
you're like, yeah, that movie's awesome.
That's so fun.
Anyway, so, you know, I've been listening a lot of the day and I'm finally home, so I decided to give you guys a call. And, you know, the theme of the day is, yeah, we won, but. And I called Devon on Friday. I said, there's only two things I care about. One, that we win, and two, we're healthy.
Yes.
And, you know, we got out of that game unscathed. And, yeah, offense only put up 17 points, but we had two less possessions, you know, with defensive touchdowns.
And so they might have scored, yeah.
Let's say we score on one of those because both of them were short field. And we win 31-6, but we have three offensive touchdowns. No, I think we're reaching a little bit too far. Like, yes, we were, you know, it wasn't our best offensive performance, but I think we all watch and follow, and a lot of us played whatever high school college level to know that you're going to have these games where you're up 14-0 and you're almost disinterested in the rest of the game. Like, you know, you're going to win that game. There's zero chance you're going to lose that game. That's the way we started. So I just go back to what I said Friday is we won. And we're healthy. Now, if you win that game 17-6, you know, maybe I'd go back and say, okay, that was really ugly. But we still put up 31 points. And listen, we didn't even have Wentz play the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter. We
True.
Didn't need it.
Yeah.
We're out of that. And
I think that Doug,
week.
Josh, what I was digging at is I think that Doug is happy that there are still teaching points and still things to go over and film and everything else. So, I
For
mean,
sure.
I've heard people complaining, and I agree that it's kind of annoying when you win 31-6 that everyone
The only
complains.
Thing I think is a fair complaint is the penalties. I find them so inexcusable to that tune of 9. It said that's just I can't stomach that on any day.
And that's not really like an effort thing. That's just a discipline thing. And
absolutely.
And another reason I was kind of upset about like not people not being pumped up about the win. Like we didn't play forever. You know, it felt like 2 weeks because of the Thursday night game. Like I got my juices flowing. We're winning. We crushed them. All right, let's talk about it. Now we're not happy. Like, come on, guys. We're 3-2 after starting 1-2. And now, you know, we gotta be positive. We gotta be fired up going into these next three games as a fan base. Like, cause this is the season, these next three games.
No, there's no doubt about it, Josh. Good
true.
Stuff. Really good. I mean, he's right. Going into it, the energy level needs to be higher. than it's been in the last, because there's been kind of like a malaise. You lose to Detroit, you're like, all right, what's going to happen now? You beat Green Bay, it's like, great, that could just be Thursday night football. Who knows what that is, you know?
And I will say this, the feeling is 2-1 is the only okay scenario. 3-0, okay, take it all.
Yeah, but if you're 1-2, you're kind of right back where you started.
Then,
especially if you lose to Dallas.
With two very big ones up after that in the Bears and the Patriots.
No doubt about it. 610-632-0975. Now we'll go back to Ryan and Langhorne. Ryan, what's going on, man? Sorry for the technical issues.
Oh my God, I'm in the Matrix.
He always wanted to be a movie star.
Listen, D-Line, I love your Sixers knowledge.
Thank you, sir.
And Joe, I love all your general sports knowledge. I have a few points to make. I'm probably not going to get to all of them. First of all, like, I hear on national media and local media, like, how we can't win this game against Minnesota. I think that is a fallacy. We can beat Minnesota, and we will. I also think there's nothing wrong with our running game. Like, Jordan Howard, up the middle, great. Miles Sanders catching out of the backfield has impressed me immensely. Also, my third point, and that's it, I feel more comfortable when random Eagles players we do not know step up and have amazing games than when the guys we expect to. Like, I'd rather have Orlando Scandrick have the game he had yesterday than Fletcher Cox have, like, a normal Fletcher Cox game. I feel better about the team as a whole when the unknowns step up, and I really feel good about the team right now. I don't care, like, all the ins and outs, like, this is how it started in 2017.
Yeah, you had to start somewhere. Ryan, thanks, man. I love your taste in radio hosts.
I liked his enthusiasm, Joe.
Well, just the enthusiasm
general
was there, too,
You just asked that people have, like, greater pumped-up action going into this three-game road trip, and Ryan
delivered
right out of the gate.
One for one.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Perfect.
But his point is absolutely correct, too, because we do have questions now that we didn't have before about the depth, right? We have questions about, you know, who steps up if someone gets injured. In the event that an Orlando Scandrick steps up and has the game that he has, yes, it's against the Jets, but in the back of your mind, you know, okay, well, he also has that experience. Yeah, he has it in him.
Yeah, we're not totally asking a guy who's never been there, done that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true. But I think that a lot of people did wonder, he has done that before. Can he still do that?
Yeah, not sure, but in this case, you needed it, and he certainly, in the opportunity he was given, delivered in a big way. I'm not going to ask him to give you two sacks every week, right? Or deliver, what was his, 51 yards? 44. His was 44 yards.
Yeah, his was 44. Yeah, slacker. Or the extra 6 yards. Eagles getting 3 points from Minnesota early on
next week. Technically even.
Pretty even home field advantage. There you go. 610-632-0975. Extended commercial-free segment coming your way next. We do have a couple of open phone lines. Grab those while you can. 610-632-0975. More of your phone calls next. It's D-Lineham, Joe Torti, right here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.